to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for February 11, 2024, the last Sunday after Epiphany, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
I want to invite any kids who are here to come on up, and their parents can come too if the kids are shy, but I want to do a little quick Elijah story before I get to the meat of the sermon. So any kids who are here, come on down. We're going to make some noise. You guys like making noise? Come on. You can bring stuffed animals. They'll help. Awesome. Perfect. Come on down. Come stand with me. We're going to tell a little Elijah story. So you guys can come right on up here. Stand next to me. Oh, I like your stuffed animals. Do they have names? Yeah? Yeah. Nice. All right, so can you help me tell a story? What do you think? Yes, sure. All right, so once upon a time, there was the prophet Elijah, and Elijah was the only good prophet left. All the other prophets had sold out. They were working for the king. Everything was terrible. And Elijah was running for his life. He was running away. Let's run away. Run, run, run. And he came up. He finally found a spot to be by himself, and it was up on top of a mountain, all by himself. And he was in a cave, and he was afraid that they were going to find him and they were going to get rid of him. But then God showed up. First, there was, and help me with this, first there was an earthquake. Oh, and he saw the earthquake. Oh no, an earthquake. Boy, you guys are pretty calm during an earthquake. And then there was a fire. How do you make a fire sound for fire? Hiss, terrible fire. But you know what? God wasn't in the earthquake and God wasn't in the fire. Then there was a huge wind. Can you go? Everybody help. That's a pretty sad wind. But God wasn't in the wind either. And then there was total silence. Hold your breath. And that's how God showed up for Elijah. All right, you guys can go back. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Good job. So in our readings today, we hear a lot about the prophet Elijah. I'm a little obsessed with Elijah because I'm singing a concert in May in Grosse Pointe that is Mendelssohn's oratorio all about the prophet Elijah. So every story of Elijah, I'm hearing Mendelssohn in my head. But Elijah was a great prophet, and he was great because he stood fast when the entire world was against him. Ahab and Jezebel, the worst rulers of all of the history of Israel, were trying to kill him. He alone was faithful to God, but he was on the run. And Elijah was still able to persist and to speak God's word of prophecy. But Elijah needed moments where God showed up to give him strength, like that moment on the mountain where God showed up in the sound. In the King James, it's the still small voice, but the better Hebrew translation is the sound of sheer silence. After all the ways we think God shows up, God showed up in silence. And that gave Elijah the strength to walk back down the mountain and to do the hard work that he was given to do. His own life at stake to confront Ahab and Jezebel and to tell them the truth about God's word and God's plan. Well, at the end of Elijah's life, he is going to pass the mantle on to his servant Elisha. It's always tough when you're reading that lesson to distinguish Elijah and Elisha, right? But I think Sheila did a good job. Elisha was terrified. How am I going to replace Elijah? He's the greatest of all the prophets. What am I going to do? And so when Elijah says, I can do one thing for you, what do you want? He says, I want to be like you, but only more. And Elijah goes, I don't know about that, but we'll see. And when Elijah is carried up into heaven, Elisha is granted the strength to go on, to continue his ministry as the prophet of Israel. In our gospel today, we have the famous story of the Transfiguration, which is another one of these great turning points, right? A great transition. Jesus started his earthly ministry, his public ministry, with his baptism, right? When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, and the voice of God said, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Sound familiar? Because now at the end of his public ministry, this is really the bookend of his teaching and healing ministry. He's on the mountain, just like Elijah was. He's knowing that what's coming is going to be very difficult. He has his own Ahab and Jezebel. He has to confront Herod. He has to confront Pilate. He has to confront the whole worldly system of injustice and oppression, and he needs a little boost. And so once again, the voice of God says to him, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." And guess who shows up? Our buddy Elijah shows up to give Jesus strength. Moses and Elijah, the pillars of Israel, the law in Moses, the prophets in Elijah, show up to show that the glory of God has been revealed in Jesus, and he is the fulfillment of all that has come before. All of the law, all of the prophets have been about preparing the world for this moment when the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus. Peter and James and John are like Elisha. They're terrified. What does this mean? What are we going to do? They want to freeze this moment in time. They want to build a little shrine. Let's just stay on the mountain. Let's not go down. It's too difficult down there. Let's stay up here where it's good and safe and where Jesus is here and Moses and Elijah. But Jesus knows that he cannot stay there, that this moment of glory, this moment of strength is for a purpose. It is so that he can go back down the mountain like Elijah had so long before, go back down to do the work, the difficult work that he is called to do, to confront the evil powers of this world, to sacrifice himself for the good of all. And so he does. He brings his disciples and they go back down the mountain. I think this is such a powerful story for us in our spiritual life as well. We need those moments of reassurance and strength, those mountaintop experiences when God shows up like he did to Elijah, like he did for Jesus and Peter and James and John. But we can't stay there. We can't keep looking back on the past. Moses and Elijah were not there to say, "Jesus, look back." They were there to say, "Jesus, keep on going. Your work is still in front of you." As people, we tend to want to lean on the past, cling to the past, hold on to the things of the past. I was chatting with Jane about a little preview about a class that she's going to be working on our personal health. And one of the things she said that has just been sticking with me all week is that whenever we engage in a behavior, instead of a habit, a pattern, a neural pathway is created in our brains, right? That neural pathway never goes away. Am I right? Never goes away. We can go around it, we can try new things, but that habit, that pattern is always there. It's so easy to dig ourselves into a spiritual rut, to just do the things we've always done. You know the old joke about Episcopalians, how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? It takes three. It takes one to change the light bulb, and two to talk about how much better the old light bulb was. Right? It's human nature. We love what's familiar, what's comfortable, what's safe. But that illusion can be deadly. I was watching clips from the interview with Vladimir Putin this week, where he talked about what it means. Here's my interpretation. What does it mean for Russia to feel safe? It has always meant this one thing. Russia feels safe when they have a whole circle of countries around them that they completely control and own. They want a buffer against the rest of the world. That's when they feel safe. That has always been the desire of Russia, to have that safety and security. And honestly, Putin doesn't care how many Ukrainians die so that he can feel safe. That is deadly. That is not the vision of God. That's not the vision where we live in a world of allowing people to be self-determining, right? To be themselves in their fullest capacity. This is a deadly desire to cling to the past, to the illusion of safety and security. In a similar way, this endless war in Gaza pits two factions against each other. Hamas, the terrible terrorist group, who cannot envisage a future that has Israel in it. They're utterly dedicated to the eradication of Israel, and they don't care who has to die or suffer for that goal. And in response, the government of Israel has decided that it's worth obliterating the entirety of the Gaza Strip to get rid of this group, because what they want is safety and security. Our desire for that can be wonderful, it can be deadly. I think our call, as we think about our scriptures today, these turning point, these transition moments, is to think about our own journey, how easy it is to go back to the familiar neural pathways, those patterns of safety and security that prevent us from going down the mountain, that lead us to get stuck, to dig ruts in our life that are deeper and deeper. Instead, our call is not to build booths on the mountain like Peter and James and John. Let's just stay here, right? Our call is to go with courage into the unknown future that God invites us to walk back down the mountain, even though we know that Ahab and Jezebel are waiting, even though we know that Pilate and Herod are waiting, even though we know the world is broken and dangerous and difficult, we must go forward, full of the knowledge of the glory of God that has been revealed to us in those mountaintop moments, full of the faith that God is with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, full of the courage, faith, and knowledge that we are God's, that God has fashioned us for this purpose, and that if we can have that courage to go, God will meet us there. I pray that your Lent, which is just upon us, will be a time when God opens new pathways for you, where you can see the opportunities that God is giving you to take a risk and to trust in God. Because only that way can we truly grow into the people that God desires us to be, full of abundant life and unconquerable love. Amen.